This is CliffCentral.com.
That's Mike Posner with Cooler Than Me. It is 8 o'clock on the dot. It's time for us to check in on our guest and somebody who I love, and she's popped into the studio today to talk about all kinds of exciting things, but it'll be nice to catch up nonetheless. A new theatre production called Calling Me Home. They're breaking new ground, and the cast have all the profit share in the show. How's that? I didn't know that you could do that. That's very new.
Yeah.
It's clever, huh? And Zolani is part of this. Besides earning a fee for performing, it is in all of their interest to promote the show and get tickets sold. They'll all reap the rewards. And besides the incredible talent on stage, they plan to travel internationally and highlight their own stories. Let's get her in here. Let's bring in the superstar. Hello, gorgeous. Hey. Good Look morning. At you. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, honey?
Hi.
You good?
It's a full house.
Yeah,
that
nice
is
to
an
see
amazing
you.
Entrance, I have to say.
You know?
What an entrance.
And I've been around.
Let's give you the proper entrance. All right, here it is.
There we go.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
She's now in theater, so she gets a real, you know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You've done it all, though.
That's
I mean,
Sia, to curtsy now.
Sia and I were talking about you this morning before you came in.
Yes.
You started off in TV. You didn't start off in Freshly Crowned.
Yeah, well, I started off at university studying theatre.
Yeah, so
and
you've gone full circle.
Yeah, and then I somehow like sort of got a gig on television, on telly. And then, and then the music happened.
You're looking good, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Are you happy?
Oh, I have so many children.
No, you got two, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not so many.
It's a lot.
They haven't outnumbered you yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I don't think we
How old
get
are
there.
They? How old are your kids?
The oldest, my oldest Zazie is 4, and the baby is about a year and a half.
Awesome.
What?
And
no, the work.
Yeah. The work.
The work.
Yeah.
That comes
but
with
the cuteness.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So,
the cuteness.
I mean, how much, because mothers are so dishonest about this.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is cuteness and how much of it is, oh my God, I really shouldn't have thought of even opening my legs.
It's hectic, man. It's very hectic. And you know, the opening of the legs, you know, happens, especially with the second one. It doesn't like, it's not like it's a frequently happening thing.
Yeah.
So then like, on the oopsie night that it does happen, flip, now there's another baby.
but
he was planned. Sorry, no, that's not actually, I didn't know.
Yeah.
He well, was you, in our minds.
Yeah, well, you can't say that. Baby. I mean, look, he'll never find out. We'll just destroy this recording.
Oh, sure. Evaporate it. Take it off the internet.
But it is tough. I mean, like, you have to pour every ounce of yourself and your time and your effort and your work.
And that's only fair.
Yeah.
That's only fair.
Absolutely. Because if you're doing anything less, you're a shitty parent.
Shitty in the city.
So how are things going, though, with this theatre production? It sounds really exciting.
Wow. You know, it's really hard and it's really amazing.
Who came up with this brilliant idea of everybody getting a share of the profits?
Certainly wasn't me, but I was very happy to hear it. I'm all about democracy.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic idea. It was the theatre makers. I think it probably was the writer, Alice Gillam.
Okay.
It probably was her.
Nice.
Who had that idea?
So what is the show?
So the show, Calling Me Home, it's the central story is of a woman, not me. Central character Grace, who's fleeing from war.
Hmm.
She's fleeing from you know, this brutal civil war in her African country, and she's moving to a big city, an unnamed city in the wider world. So basically, it's a story of displacement, which is bang on. I mean it's what we're hearing all the time. You know, the Syrians, whatever, Zimbabweans, you know, like refugees, all over the world, it's happening. But also, it's a story about hope and it's a story of love. There is a love story that's kind of that's tangled up in the middle of it. And my character is not the main character.
Are these people insane?
Are they crazy? Do they not know?
They've got you there, and they let some other chick do the lead.
But she's amazing.
Yeah, whatever.
And this is the thing, though. This is the thing with musical theatre, is that there are voice types. There are certain voice types that are going to be king.
Yeah.
And the soprano and Linnell Kennett is our star for this play. He has got the most superb soprano voice that I've heard in a very long time. Right. And anyway, I'm not that voice type. So I'm what's known as a mezzo soprano.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not like up there.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm kind of sort of in the middle. So my character is also somebody who's fleeing from a repressive situation. So her situation is one coming out of abuse, an abusive relationship.
This sounds like a real buzzkill, this show.
Yes, but you know, it's moving towards hope. In it.
Yeah, but I don't want to be depressed.
You're not going to be depressed.
This is why I don't go to theater anymore.
Oh, you're not really going to be depressed.
That's the only reason.
But now listen, Gareth. Now let me just tell you. That is the thing of it. It's the journey coming out of that and moving to somewhere that is more positive.
So is there the happiness in here?
There's so much happiness, and there's such beautiful music. Are you playing a song from the musical?
No, I was going to play.
Why?
Well, because I don't have any.
Why don't you play both?
Okay, let me play you a song from the musical.
Play a song from the musical. Play the. I sang a track because I'm here. Play something that I sang.
Right.
But there is also a beautiful track that Linnell Kennett is playing.
Here it is.
My lover's got humor.
Ooh,
she's a giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval.
It's dreadful.
Should have worshipped her.
I think it
Sorry,
is.
I think that was.
I don't know if I. You know what? You have beautiful. Lied to all of us. You have lied to every single one of us, telling us that you're talented. What is that mess?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't know
that
any of the music
opening
from
opening song, opening number.
I'm sorry.
So, I mean, what's cool about you is you can do all of these things. You can do the TV stuff, you can do the theater stuff, you can do the music. Mm. Is there one that you like the most? Is it your default setting?
Well, this is what's interesting for me with this production is that it's bringing together. It's like a crashing together of my different crushes, I guess.
Yeah.
So I thought I would only do theater. I never thought that I would do music. And then music just happened, and then this Freshly Ground thing happened, and it was a success. And then I sort of didn't do theater. I didn't do my acting stuff for a long time. And now this play has come around, and it's just an amalgamation. So it's quite fun.
There's something special about being on stage in front of a live audience.
For sure.
Right. It's totally different to, you know, television and recording music videos and
100.
And even doing a concert, because when you're in theater, you're so much more vulnerable, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And it can go very badly.
Like it spins on a dime.
Yeah, if you forget a line or if there's a wardrobe malfunction or if there's something else that happens, it could really ruin things.
Mm-mm. And what's different as well, like I'm coming now from a, I don't know, whatever, almost a pop kind of a background where, you know, on the live music scene, you can do things to like change. If something fucks up, you know, then somebody will be there to like mop. Yeah, you can play with it. But in musical theater, there is none of that. Mm. You know, in theater, there is none of that.
No.
You know, it's all written and it's all like kind of, I don't know, whatever. But it is live, so it is energetic. You can always like bring the audience back around. You can win them over again, which is the exciting thing about theater.
Do you think that's why so many of these Hollywood actors, you hear about them going back to Broadway and like doing shows?
Sure,
because it feeds them, right?
For sure, in a very different way,
and it kind of challenges you
in a
very real sense as well.
Oh yes.
So, I mean, there's so much to talk about.
You can't be so complacent.
No.
Yeah.
There's a lot that I want to discuss with you today. So we've already spoken about your two kids, but how long have you been married now, you and your husband?
I haven't been married for as long as we've known each other. We've been together since we were at varsity.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean...
How do you keep that together since varsity? Because you became famous and, you know...
Yeah, so I became famous while we were together.
Yeah.
So we went through that. That was very weird.
It is weird because...
It was very weird.
Suddenly you matter to a whole lot of people who don't know.
Yes, and I must confess, I didn't really know how to manage that initially.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. So when people would come up to me in the street, I would be like, whoa, this is crazy. And then they would want to have like a whole half hour conversation and he would be with me. And I would just have this conversation with him and he would just like slowly kind of like go away. And that would happen for like about a year.
He's like a prop.
Poor guy. Yeah. I mean, it was terrible. So until I finally, like, the penny dropped, I was like, oh no, this is not cool. Yeah. But now with, it's easier with kids and with a family because I've got an even greater buffer to say to be like, sorry, not right now. You know, like I can't take a picture right now. I'm with my kids.
Yeah.
You know?
And people do that?
People don't always understand. But
so what do they say to you, the ones who don't understand?
You know, it's some crap about, you know.
You're a diva.
Yeah. Some.
You think you're important.
Some rubbish, but it doesn't matter as much anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, but it's rare.
Yeah.
It's not the default.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't matter at the end of the day. If it doesn't matter to me, it's okay.
So you're quite protective of the kids. No, that's true.
Yeah.
You have to be, right? Because
otherwise, like, if I'm worried about it, if I'm hung up about it, I'm like, oh, he thinks I'm such a terrible person. He thinks, which I have before in the past, you know, had that obsession, but it's, no, not necessary.
So do you guys do, like, family things out in public? Do you go to restaurants?
Yeah, sure. Of course we do.
You don't have any issues with that?
No.
But people do recognize you and then they want to come into your space.
Have a piece of time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you see, that's hard to deal with. I don't know, especially because I'm not a parent, but I think your first instinct is to kind of protect and nurture them.
Mm.
And even though it might be something that they get used to, that their mom, people know their mommy.
Yes.
You know, but it's still weird.
Yeah.
And for most kids, they don't have to experience that.
Mm.
And you say your husband, like when you were famous and when you are, and Freshly Ground was on the up and up.
Uh-huh.
Was it difficult also because you're touring and you're doing so many gigs? And did you two travel together?
No. He once traveled with me before the child. Oh no, when one of the children was born. But no. He's got his own life. He's got his own stuff. Yeah.
And he's not at all in entertainment.
He sort of works in the ad game, so he's sort of a little bit affiliated with it, but not really.
How did you two? Like, he's not in front. How did you two click?
How did we click?
Yeah, when did that happen? And you said advanced
at university. We just met. He was studying a similar degree to myself. He was studying media, but he was doing a subject. He's doing drama as a subject, and I was doing it as my degree. And we just met and we were part of a group of friends and
Was it romantic almost straight away?
For me it was.
Oh.
Much less so for him.
So he took a while to warm to you.
He took a long time.
That doesn't seem right. It seems like it should be the other way around.
No, it was fine.
Really?
Yeah, I was
I did,
and then I let it go because he was being a bit. He wasn't really coming to the party.
Did you think you'd lost out?
No, I moved on.
Oh, so you actually weren't, this is not together from the very beginning.
No.
And then how did it all change when he came back into your life? I'm interested in this.
This is boring, man.
No,
this is boring.
Never.
No.
Really?
People love this stuff.
Really? Mm. No one's ever asked me this.
Yeah, Sia's never been so transfixed.
So I'm here
serious?
For this
are
party.
You really, are you I'm really interested in this?
Yes.
For real?
Because this is like our little therapy session. Because we've all been into someone.
No,
and
but,
then it's
but,
like...
Zolani, it's because...
Okay, I mean, I can go there.
Yes, let's
I
go.
I can go there. Okay, all right, I will go there.
How do you bring him back?
So, all right, so we kind of had... I sort of got him in a position, and then he like ran away.
Oh, sorry, I don't know where that was going. What sort of position?
I got him in a position. We kissed one night.
Yeah.
Oh.
It didn't get like heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
We kissed one night, and then the next day I was going to start filming Cha Cha. So I had to leave early in the morning. I left early in the morning, but I was really excited because I kissed this dude who I'd been after for all this time, and I went off to church, and when I got to the Eastern Cape, because we were in Cape Town, when I got to the Eastern Cape, I phoned him, and he couldn't say a word on the phone.
Shame.
He could not say one single word.
Wow.
And so I was like, well, that's that. So at the end of the production, I came back to Cape Town with a guy who moved from Joburg to Cape Town to be with me, and we lived together for a couple of years, and then that ended, and then we just found our way towards each other.
Were you still friends with him?
Yeah, we were still sort of friends. Years? We were still sort of friends.
It wasn't awkward.
It was fine.
Huh.
I reckon he couldn't talk to you. He couldn't say a word on the phone because he was nervous.
Yeah.
No, he was. He was very shy.
That's amazing.
He was a very, very shy chap. He's much better now.
See, that's not a boring story at all.
Really?
I'll tell you what's a boring story, but we've got to cover it. Is Sia went to collect that award for me. You spectacular?
No, to me, it's still a highlight. You probably don't even remember this. But no. It was 2014. And I was going to the You Spectaculars for Gareth. Uh-huh. And he was nominated. It was best radio personality or something. And so he wasn't into it. So I was going on his behalf. You actually announced the category.
Oh, snap.
And the different nominees. And I was there just like, oh, it's so amazing.
You see, I warned you this was going to be a boring story.
Oh, I do remember. Exactly. Oh, I do remember.
Yeah. So then he was announced as a winner. I was like, oh, shucks, I have to stand up. And I stood up. Yeah, and in the midst of being so nervous, this is like my very first event. And I hear this little zip. And I was like, whoa, that is not a good sign. And my zipper went down.
Oh, shit.
And as I walked up, I'm like, firstly, it's Solani from Freshly Crowned. Like, I'm on the You Spectacular stage. I was like, what am I meant to do? And I was like, okay, my zipper's down. And you actually stood in front of me for the whole little few seconds of the acceptance speech. So you basically saved my behind.
Or, hey, your front.
In this instance, should I say my front?
Front. Yes.
You saved my front. And oh, since so then, glad. I now wear black underwear for formal events.
That is a happy story.
I learned
story.
The hard way.
That is a happy story, see?
Yes. So you, you're very,
but
very
do you
nice
remember it, though? Or you just being
nah,
polite?
She's not.
I remember it fine if you don't.
I do remember.
Like, I do remember.
It's, I mean, it's very vague.
Yes, yes.
But I remember the event, and I sort of remember that Gareth wasn't there. I sort of remember that you were there.
No, but you have been one of rooted and nice people in the industry, genuinely.
Yeah. I mean, there's... Fuck, I mean, excuse me.
Yeah. No, you can.
I can.
It's a Monday morning. It's early in the morning. The yeah.
I don't know if the publicist for the show will be so happy that I'm swearing
don't
so much.
Don't worry.
But anyway, can we get back to the show just
yeah,
now?
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, you've got to be yourself.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
of course we'll get back.
Otherwise, what's the point?
We'll get back to the
what's
show.
The point,
you're
really?
Not. You're not here for your health. I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll plug the hell out of the show. But
I still want you to play a song from the musical.
No, I was going to play something by Banana Republic.
Is it like you only get one shot or what?
Well, we just don't play a lot of music here.
Oh, you talk a lot.
A hell of a lot.
All right, okay. Carry on.
So, I mean, when you were up there and Sia, have you ever had any embarrassing wardrobe malfunctions? Because you dress up quite, I mean, you've got some really interesting outfits that you've worn during the fresh.
Yeah, I mean, sure, of course I have. I've had...
You ever had a titty fall out?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
Did people see?
I don't know.
How big was the crowd? Oh my goodness, I'm now cringing.
Yeah.
So did you notice your titty was out or did?
Yeah, I did. And then you have to like keep lifting. And you know, and our performances are very energetic.
Yeah, of
you
course.
Know, so I can't really like keep still or also just be fidgeting the whole time. But you know, it happens.
Yeah.
It's just live, you know.
That's what I'm thinking. But that overreaction that all those years ago that they had to Janet Jackson.
Yes.
It's just crazy, right? Like people want to see that. That's why they love when... Yeah, you see how like Ariana Grande dresses on stage. I mean, don't tell me that she's conservative.
Yeah.
No, don't tell me she doesn't want to show it off. To get a little...
No, but what I'm saying is everybody wants that. They want to see someone looking super sexy. But the minute they cross some invisible line...
Yeah.
I mean, inadvertently, some of the time. Like, oh, that was disgusting. You know what I mean? It's so childish.
Humans.
Yeah. Humans. We love making bullshit rules up.
Humans.
Yeah.
We've got problems.
How many people are in Freshly Ground now? It used to be
there are much less.
It used to be 700 of you.
Yes, there used to be a football.
Do you remember, Mubs? They once came in to visit us on the show, and we didn't have, in the whole of the SABC, there wasn't enough room to accommodate the whole band. It was a shit ton of you people.
There's much less of us now. We don't have a violinist anymore.
What happened?
She's moved to New York. She's found love in New York, and she's working with an NGO. She's really, really enjoying it there.
But it must have changed the sound of the band.
It did. It did, but not in a bad way.
No, I'm not saying bad.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you'll hear our single Banana Republic. It's I guess that's quite different, actually.
Yeah.
It's
like evolution, right?
Yeah, it's evolution, baby.
I always think it's like going into battle. Not everybody's going to be here at the end.
Exactly.
But you are freshly ground.
I'm still here.
No, in point of fact, I mean, there's some very talented
people. In terms of faces?
Well, isn't the front man always the... You know, you don't have to say this. I'll say it for you because I don't want you to get into trouble. But there are very talented people in that band.
Uh-huh.
You guys make great music.
Thank you.
Everybody loves you.
Thanks.
You've got massive appeal. And the reality is, if you weren't there, it wouldn't be Freshly Ground anymore. Anybody else could go. And it would still be if you were there.
Yeah, granted. Ground. Yes.
And,
yes,
and that must be hard for some of them to... They might not actually say it to you. But it's tough in a band. I mean, we know so many stories in music history about how this band broke up, the lead singer went somewhere, and then the rest of them thought they could carry on.
Yes.
And nobody cared.
Oh.
Shame.
Oh.
Without the lead singer, it's just a disaster.
Oh, Gareth.
It's true, though.
Boo-hoo.
Isn't it true? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. Oh. It's true. Moving on.
No, I mean, do you have to sit them all down and say, no, listen, guys... Have you ever had those conversations?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's true, and it's such a, it is a point, because now, like, with this musical, I'm taking time to do this thing.
Right.
And that means that a lot of them are, they just have to do, find something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For packing for a few months. Groceries at Woolworths.
No.
I've never thought of that. Actually.
It is like if I'm not there,
mm-hmm.
then the band sort of is at a bit of a standstill.
When you at home pregnant, when you say you want to take time off for the family,
exactly,
you also have to factor them in.
Exactly. So it is a bit of a pressure. It is a bit of a pressure.
Freshly Ground has played in a lot of really interesting places and for a lot of really interesting audiences.
Yes.
Do you, when you think back on like how much you guys have done, is there a particular set of highlights, like things that, my God, this was an amazing show.
Yeah.
That was my favorite crowd. That was the best venue we ever played in.
There are a lot of highlights.
Mm, tell me.
One of my favorite highlights was when we started getting famous outside of South Africa and in the greater African continent. That was a major highlight for us.
And where did you go?
So one of the first places we went with was Botswana.
Isn't that a great country?
Such a great country.
Namibia. Don't you just love those people?
I mean, it's a
generalization because there are obviously shitty Botswanans, but I mean, but they're
awesome,
most,
and they've got such heart, and they're just so...
Such friendly people.
Oh, they are amazing.
Right.
So playing in Bots has been amazing. So, but a major, major highlight for us, it was playing in Harare.
Yeah.
For the first few times. Actually, every time we played in Harare has been incredible.
Tell me.
Incredible. So we've gone there, we've mainly gone there to play the Harare International Festival
of
the Arts. Haifa, which is one of the best festivals, or has been one of the best festivals in the world, really. Unfortunately, now because of circumstances, they're struggling to get funds. You know, so it's really very they're struggling quite a lot. But just going there and just playing to people. We didn't even know that this existed, you know, just this whole...
And they loved you?
These thousands of people in this whole other country knowing all of the songs.
Oh, did they sing along? They sang along with you?
Yes, yes.
That's superb.
Huge goosebumps. And then one of the times that we went there, we played with Oliver Mtukudzi, you know, on stage with him. And just what a highlight that's been. And then, of course, you know, then it's the other extreme of like going to play in places like Radio City Music Hall in New York.
Oh, man.
You know, and being on stage with Stevie Wonder and like singing Happy Birthday with him, you know, to Nelson Mandela. I mean, it's just, there's been amazing highs and amazing highs.
What do you think it is about that sound? Because there's nobody I can think of that comes close to the sound that you guys have. It's truly original. What do you think it is? Is it the collaboration between all of these talented people? Is it the writing? Is it your voice?
Yeah.
I think that's a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I think with any group of people, they are going to create, or they should create, a very particular, unique sound. Mm. Because none of us on this planet are the same as the other. So it should be that. that one group of people is going to make music that's completely different to another group. But yeah, I mean, it's tough though.
I think the first time...
It's still tough.
Well, of course it is. And music is really hard.
You know, it's hard.
I mean, music is a tough business to make money in. Full
yeah,
stop.
For sure.
You got to do the shows because nobody makes money out of selling the
for
music.
For sure.
And then you've got merchandising, or you've got events, or you've got to collaborate with brands, or you've got to do some kind of, you know, do some clever footwork.
Yeah.
To get ahead.
Yeah.
I remember the first time you and I actually met and talked properly was when you did Idols with us.
Ah, right.
Remember, that was like
seven years
ago.
That was a horrible experience for me.
You hated it, right?
I really?
Yeah, tell me about that.
I mean,
we're both off the show now, so we don't have to be
nice. I thought the approach was very mean-spirited.
Really?
I did. I really did.
Yeah? You thought that the judges were nasty?
No, I thought even the direction of the show, maybe it was just like when I was there, it was just like that kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know, day, but it didn't feel like it was about building people up. It felt like it was just like about just like making this clever show, you know, that was just like mean.
Yeah, I remember you weren't mean though.
I wasn't, even though like some of the writing that said they encouraged like some of the things like just like horrible.
Well, I mean, you know, reality TV isn't real.
Hundreds.
And there's a lot of that stuff that I suppose the show also evolved because they never really scripted stuff for us. But I know I was a douchebag at the beginning of Idols. I got better.
You got better.
Well, I became, it was less about me. And that's something that you really, as you grow up and you kind of get into something a little bit more, you realize it's not about me. It's about these talented kids. Well, I hope. And I mean, it took me long enough, but it did eventually happen.
Good.
Did you always just have, because you're also quite self-effacing and you know, you don't behave, I've never seen you pull rank or tell anybody, do you know who I am?
Yes, well, I had an early experience that taught me not to do that again.
What happened? What, right in the beginning of Freshly Ground?
Yeah.
What happened?
It was back in my heavy drinking days.
Yeah?
Of which there were a few. We went to some place in Melrose Arch or something, like it was like after a show or something, and we were quite sauced, me and some friends, and we're trying to get into this place, to this club.
Okay.
And they're like, no. And of course I said that terrible line that
do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am?
Right. Ooh.
And they were like, no.
Oh, that.
And like somebody had to tell them. And then they were like, oh, come in. And I had to be carried out of there. Like,
okay, well, at least it worked. Yeah. At least you got in.
I mean, it's pathetic.
It would have been sad if they were like, no, we don't know. But we don't care.
Isn't that the right answer always? Is if someone says to you, do you know who I am? Just no.
Exactly.
That's the end of the argument.
Exactly. Like, who do you think you are? Like, who do you think you are? That's Can you just take a hike?
But doesn't that speak to, you know, the whole notion of if you have enough people worshipping you, putting you on a pedestal, saying nice things about you all the time, that eventually works on you.
You start to believe it.
That goes to your head.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It can't not. So it takes a lot of work to actually to climb down from that pedestal.
Yeah.
And also it takes surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah, you know, if you have sycophants. If you have sycophants and people,
I'm lucky that I had this husband that I knew before I got famous, you know, who knew me as like Joe. You
Has he ever called you out and said, "Hey, listen, that behavior is just not on, and how can you do that?"
Probably.
Really?
Probably in the.
I mean, respectfully,
days.
Not you know.
Yeah.
It comes from
a
good place, but
probably
because I know I've
I'm
got.
Sure I behaved like a shit.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, my family and my manager and a lot of people in my life would immediately tell me if I was out of line.
That's
and they have done before.
Good.
You need people you can trust.
Exactly.
Were you ever...
your head can run away with you.
And you start believing your own publicity.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Have you ever had a situation where...
Yes.
Like where someone got out of line with you and you had to put them in their place? In terms of the whole showbiz world and... Because, you know, sometimes you get these people who are just a little bit outside of themselves. They don't have that check and balance, maybe.
I don't really have that bone in my body. I don't have that.
You don't put people in their place.
Not really. No, I struggle to do that.
But when you see people with all your experience now in music for the last however many years, it's been a really good ride. When you see someone new in the in the business and you see them just making a terrible mistake, or you see them behaving like an idiot. And maybe they're just not used to very much. Do you ever feel you should intervene, or is that their business?
I feel I should intervene if I know them, if they're a friend of mine, for sure. But by and large, I mean, people can make their own mistakes, you know, and they can learn the hard way. I don't know. Especially if I don't really know them. I mean, I don't feel it's my place.
You're not going to go up to a complete stranger and say, hey, you're out of line and you need to start tidying up your life.
I'm like, let me help you.
Yeah, I mean, crazy.
Help yourself.
So you mentioned you used to have the heavy drinking days. When did that stop?
Gosh.
Because for Amanda and Sia and Mabali and I, it's still
no. We're
on.
Still there. We're still in the thick of those days. We're in one of them right now.
Yeah. Sia woke up the other morning.
That's so funny, Sia.
Sia's neighbor woke him up. They were busy making a racket next door. He was speaking in tongues or something.
Yeah. And no, Sia, literally, they were praying at three in the morning.
Oh,
Sia,
they were not you. Okay.
Yeah. No. So Sia woke up to this noise, and then he just went and got a bottle of wine and. At 3 a.m, drank.
No, I'm not like.
Oh, see ya.
No, it's not like a
terrible
problem.
Isn't that the? Oh, yes, it is.
But I'm awake and I'm taking in this experience. So,
was it good?
Well, the wine was good.
Okay.
The praying, maybe not. But
God, that sucks.
Isn't it terrible?
I just had a friend of mine had a very similar experience, not with the drinking, but like with people praying in tongues next door.
And fantastic, go on and do it, but don't wake us up, you know, for the occasion. So that's why we drink.
That's why.
When did you stop?
I started taking it quite seriously about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least realizing that it was out of hand.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, for me. And you know what made it worse for me was the pressure of having that first kid.
Yeah.
And I hadn't reckoned on how difficult that was going to be.
You can't have a hangover and a baby.
Well, I mean, I would.
It was hell on earth, right?
I mean, I would have a hangover and a baby. But just really, just like I started realizing that I was using it as a coping mechanism.
Oh, wow.
That it was my like go-to default. I didn't have,
right.
I didn't have this quiver of like, you know, skills or whatever to like, just to deal with life. And it was just like my go-to.
Sure.
And it doesn't help.
Do you think that that there are things about being, you know, in the career that you're in that you would have done differently? Because we have a little bit of a benefit of hindsight, that 2020 rearview mirror. You know, if you could, maybe you would have done this, gone overseas a bit more. Maybe you would have done a little more acting. Maybe you would.
Yeah.
Is there stuff like that that you, not necessarily like a hardcore regret,
yeah,
but you would have liked to have done differently?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I've been sitting with it. I have been sitting with it and thinking about it. I mean, one of the first decisions that I needed to make was whether I would carry on with my studies, with my degree. I didn't finish my degree because Fresh Ground was starting to take off. And I've always had a thought about what if I had finished my degree and what if I'd, you know, just carried on with my initial dream of being an actress. But, you know, other great things unfolded. Other great things happened from doing music.
Yeah.
I think that's such a good question. I mean, I might have had kids earlier.
Yeah.
I might have moved to a different city. I might have moved to Joburg and not stayed in Cape Town. And maybe it's not a regret, but it's, you know, it's definitely a thought.
And where do you live now?
Still live in Cape Town.
Oh.
But at the moment, I'm in Joburg for the next few months.
Of course, with the production.
Yeah.
But is Cape Town a nice place to live?
It's very complicated.
Because I get different answers from different people.
It's very complicated.
Because that's not where you're originally from.
It's not where I'm originally from. I'm from the Eastern Cape. I'm from PE.
Right. So Cape Town presents itself as being this really cool,
yeah,
arty, exciting, lifestyle oriented place where you, you know, people live really well and they eat out and they go to exciting places and they're surrounded by this natural beauty.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of underlying like bullshit going
major.
On. Major. Right? And
major.
And like people, a lot of people are just not, they're not honest.
For sure.
I'm not saying this doesn't apply to other cities as well.
Before for sure.
Cape Townians get upset. But I know, like, there are a lot of Cape Townians who, they don't really, they don't live in the real world.
Mm.
Do you feel that's a fair comment?
I completely, completely see that as fair. You know what's interesting for me? One of the very interesting things for me. So, I don't want this to sound like, egotistical or whatever, but I get recognized by white people much more in Johannesburg than I do in Cape Town.
Mm.
Let that be an indication of something to you. Another thing is, as famous as I am,
she says, I'm still firmly lodged in cheek.
I'm still, you know, I mean, you've spoken about it as well. I've still kind of got quite an unassuming way of being in the world. So I do, when I'm in Cape Town, I do come up against that kind of underlying racism.
Yeah.
That people don't quite own up to. So like in a shop, I will still get that, like initial like what are you doing here, like kind of thing.
Oh really?
Yeah. Sometimes I do, and it's like such a crazy thing to come up against.
See,
and it's,
I think a lot of Cape Townians think that they're very open minded.
Yes,
and
do.
Liberal, right?
Yes, they do. Well, here's another interesting. I'm married to a white guy.
Uh huh.
And he and I have very, very different experiences. And I think that he's, bless him, he's a very cool dude. But I think that he's blind to a lot of these things.
It's,
you know?
It's your experience, you know.
Yeah,
you're the only one who can tell your story.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I mean, I think this is probably true for a lot of white people who don't see that very silent and pervasive sort of, it's just in your attitude to people. It's how you talk to them.
It's
how
very
you,
subtle.
Yeah, and it's not because they're trying to be dickheads.
Yes.
It's just something that you've got to kind of internalize it out.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get rid of that stuff and be conscious.
So it's tricky for me, Cape Town, for me. I mean, one of the things that's very tricky for me is that our kids are obviously mixed race.
Mm.
And
I say swirly.
Swirly, I love that.
They're swirly.
My kids are swirly, and they.
Well, thank God they are. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been your husband's children.
Okay. Exactly. And their experience in Cape Town is that the experience of black people by and large is people who are not in the top.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are still the gardeners, they're still the maids, they're still the nannies, you know, they're still, you know, people working in like kind of more subservient positions, much, much more than they are in Johannesburg. So that's, for me, it's a worry that they see that kind of power imbalance, and it's normal, you know?
Yeah, because kids learn by example.
For sure. I mean, our Peter Cohen, our drummer, his kid when he was 8, you know, said to him, he's like, Dad, why are all the black people always, you know, the whatever, the maids? Why are the black people always the, you know, kind of cleaning up after us? And that's when it hit Peter. I mean, he hadn't thought about it himself. And he's like, shit, that's actually like, that's intense.
It's really, and to see it through a kid's eyes.
You're?
And how do you even begin to answer that?
How do you even begin to answer that?
So how do you tell your kids, because they're getting to an age now where they want to know these answers to these questions?
I just want to take them out of that situation. I just want to.
I know. I just you want to protect them, right?
Yeah, I want to just like, it's just like not normal. It's abnormal.
But do they ask you questions about why mommy's dark and daddy's light? Have they ever come up with anything like that made you and your husband look at each other and go, oh my God, what are we going to say about that? We don't know the answer.
Yeah, no, we haven't had that question in particular, but I have had my son sort of clearly identify himself as white.
Oh, really? So what did you say to him?
And that was very freaky.
Did you slap him?
No, I took a deep breath.
Maybe that's not.
I had to take a very deep breath.
Right.
you know, and just like keep my face very, very still.
And then hold up a picture of Rachel Dolezal and say to him, do not end up like this.
Keep myself very, very calm and just explain to him, you know, well, actually, you know, mama's, you know, my mom's this and your dad is this and you are a mix and you are special. You are different. You are a mix of this and this, but you are not white.
Well, but at the same time, we kind of encourage kids. It must be really hard. This is, you know, being a parent is impossible. Because we encourage kids. You see these kids growing up now and they identify as, you know, a girl if they're a boy or whatever.
Sure.
And nobody's going to argue with them there. But try that with race.
Mm.
In other words, if here's your son.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
that's
here's your son point. And he's asserting himself.
Yes.
And he's saying,
because actually it's my hang up that's making me say you are not white, you
correct.
Are this.
Ooh. Correct. He has no
for sure.
He has no qualms about it. He's like, even if he's not saying it like loud and proud, you know. He's out there. That's what he identifies as. So, as a parent, again, do you respect that, or do you tell him how it works?
Yeah.
Do you explain biology to him? Do you explain the realities, the differences, or do you just let him be?
When do you start with a butt date? When do you start with a butt date?
Yeah.
Then, not at four.
No.
No,
not at all.
But yeah, completely. I mean, where do my issues end, and where does his need to know start?
Yeah. I know a lot of mixed couples with the husband or wife are black and white, and they say to me that it used to be a lot harder. Like they would get looks years ago, but these days it's not as big an issue.
It's not. It's definitely not. Yeah, I mean, jeepers! I remember when my husband and I were dating.
Yeah,
years and years ago.
And then it must have been a thing.
Yes. Definitely.
And didn't you two get married on a farm? You did, right?
Yes, man. How do you know this shit? Yeah, we did. We eloped while I was pregnant, while I was 8 months pregnant, and I was very, very sick. And we went, and a friend of ours married us. It was very hippish thing to do.
Did you not wear shoes? Did he not wear shoes? Were you in the fields?
No.
This rolling green field.
No, we were on a very small church on a very small plot in Natal.
Sounds beautiful.
Oh, it was fine. I was
and you eloped, so you didn't have to have thousands of people.
Yeah, we didn't have anyone.
What were you sick with?
Just a flu.
Oh, okay. And you choose that time to get married?
You know?
You couldn't have waited a week to be healthy?
You know? I mean, what kind?
Really, such bad planning.
What kind?
I'll bet it was because you had like a small window when you weren't touring. And you weren't performing, you weren't in studio.
It was a timing
thing. So you just had to use it, right?
It was a timing thing. God, not people, romantic at all.
No, people don't understand, though. That's where, you know, all the glamour and things, they fade away when you only can fit your wedding in this week and you're sick. Boom.
Oh, shame.
Poor Zolani.
Sounds very sad when you put it
poor
like
Zolani
that.
Poor Zolani.
Unromantic is a term. Just like, wow. Hubba, hubba.
Shame, my poor husband, actually. I mean, I was just like sick and miserable, but shame. It's his wedding day.
So your mom died a few years ago.
Many years ago, 88.
But that hit you quite hard. I remember at the time you were...
I mean, I was still 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So I was very, very small. But it certainly hits me very hard now that I've got kids myself. You know, and, you know, other people obviously have their... Yeah, they
you
have
want
their
to
moms.
Ask your mom. You want to say to her, how do I do this? What do I do about that?
But you don't have that. Yeah. I don't have that. That's very sad.
Do you sometimes feel like you need to talk to someone about that? I mean, like a lot of people who've lost a parent.
I do.
They reckon like therapy is a good way of...
I do talk to somebody.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
it's very adult and mature. And
I've very much enjoyed my therapy experience. I found it very, very helpful.
But you seem like you're on a good path. You're like, things are falling into place nicely.
Yeah, generally.
And this theatre production is like a little bit of a cherry on the top right now.
Yes, it's very, very good.
I still can't get over that they didn't give you the lead.
No, but it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, I know. You spoke about voices and crap. You could probably get your range up there if you needed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you listen. If you listen to Linnell Kennett sing, I mean, she is up there. She's just. It's so very beautiful. Please, I would encourage your listeners to actually go online and go check out the two songs that have been released from the musical. I'll also put a link on
my Facebook.
So the one is Tomorrow. It's called Tomorrow, and that our lead is singing, Linnell Kennedy.
All right.
And the other one is Calling Me Home, that I'm singing.
I'm going to play it tomorrow, and let's let people...
Oh, how sweet.
Well, you asked so nicely. I mean, well...
Yes.
I did ask nicely. Thank you.
I'm here to help. So this is Linnell.
Yes.
She's pretty, huh?
She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful, and she's such a lovely, warm person.
It does sound sad, though.
Get your tissues
I'm getting
out.
Depressed. Like, I warn you, I'm getting a little depressed.
There's
and she hasn't
wrong
even started
with emotion.
Singing.
Emotion. Feel the emotion.
It is evening. On the edge of an African village, a young woman stands up and looks at the dark sky. She's heartbroken. She looks into the sky and questions what the future might hold. Okay, I can't.
Is that all we get?
I'm not going to play the whole damn thing. So
go and listen for yourselves.
No,
my
go to
people.
The show.
Yeah, listen go and then show. Go to the show.
So okay, where is
Do
the show?
All.
How long have we still got? How long's the run? When can we see you?
All right, it's at the Joburg Theatre.
Yes,
it's going to be on the Mandela stage.
Yes,
humongous stage.
Massive.
A massive stage. There's a cast of 33 people, so we're going to fill that stage. It's going to be beautiful. There's a lot of us. 33
yeah.
people.
Sounds good.
It's going to start on the 17th of August.
Very nice.
And it runs all the way until the 3rd of September. So it's not a long run.
See, I put it in the diary.
See, I put it in the diary.
Yeah, we need to pay attention.
17th of August to the 3rd of September. And tickets are available right this second.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful production. There's incredible music.
Well, I'm very happy to see you again.
Yeah, but can I say one more thing before we go? Because it looks like you're wrapping up here.
Yeah. All right, if you have to. All right.
So just back to my band.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm gonna play out with Banana Republic.
So I just want to say one thing about this song. So we wanted to release this song on Freedom Day. It's a protest song.
Yeah. Didn't you get into some trouble with Zim once?
It was Chicken to Change.
Yeah. Chicken to Change. Yeah. Yes. We were. We were just inviting Robert Mugabe to have a look at his policies. And
sure.
Because he made a little cameo in the music video as well.
He did make a bit of a cameo,
and
Sia.
And didn't you get banned? Like you couldn't go to
Zim?
You're
shame.
Are you still banned?
We haven't been able to go back since, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Wait, did the government actually officially say?
No. The government did not officially say. But we were there. We arrived, we got into Zim, we got into Harare, we got off the plane. I was with my first little baby at the time. He was toddling around and they were like, fresh to ground? And we were like, yes. So they called us out of the queue, out of the customs queue. and they said, you are VIPs, come this way. So we were ready, like, So
straight to the Chikurubi prison.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm with my baby. I'm like, is this a mistake? Anyway, so then they said, unfortunately, your visas have been denied. You have to get back onto the plane. You have half an hour to get back onto the plane, back to South Africa.
Jesus.
Yeah, they just said our visas had been denied. They did not say...
You were banned.
No.
Wow.
No. So that's not officially the word.
So tell me about
Banana
Republic.
So Banana Republic is a protest song that is gently aimed at our government.
Oh, good. So gently you're an equal aimed. Opportunity.
We're equal opportunity. Right. You know, it's just, we are not a Banana Republic, obviously. But it's kind of, it is, we're having those tendencies. This song is really an appeal from somebody who's parents suffered under the previous regime, suffered under apartheid. There are things that my dad will never be able to speak to me about, you know, about the experience of being this African, this proud Xhosa man, but living in this completely disempowering system where every day he's told, you're not a man, you're a boy. To fast forward to 94, fast forward to the ANC coming into power, this black government, and feeling like, wow, there is hope, you know, and that hope being dashed systematically by people who are just taking money out of our pockets and just lining their own. So Banana Republic is a protest song against those in power. And for sure, it's aimed particularly against Zuma, who is our leader, our man in charge.
Wow. You're not afraid.
No, so we release it on Freedom Day as an expression of our freedom.
Yeah, you're going to get banned from here as well.
Well, we haven't played a government gig in about 4 or 5 years.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think it was probably since the Mugabe thing. Huh. I don't know if it's linked.
You know, there's so many artists in this country who depend on that government work.
Oh, yeah. We used to get a lot of it.
Yeah. And it's nice work.
It's dried up considerably.
Good for you, because principles will win at the end.
I hope so.
I think so. All right, Zolani. It's
cool.
A pleasure to see you, honey.
Thank you. You too,
keep up,
Gareth.
The good work.
You
we'll come and watch your show.
Please,
that's
you
at the Joburg Theatre, Mandela Stage. Make sure you book. It's from the 17th of August.
Yeah, boo.
Make sure you get there ASAP.
Nice one.
All right, I apologize for my shitty voice today. I don't know what's going on with me. I will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Ben and Mabali and everybody else. We'll wrap it up with the un-news after this. Banana Republic, it's freshly ground, very, very nice. Isn't that nice?
Woof.
Very energetic song. Sounds cool. All right, Rami and Romeo coming up next. Let us wrap it up with the un-news for this morning. Here's everything you need to know. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Mubs. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you most especially to you. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9.
Yep, bo.
All right. Robert Mugabe is appealing to all Zimbabweans living abroad to return to the country and help revive the economy. And by reviving the economy, he means coming back and giving him lots of money and other Western delights, as the coffers are starting to run a little dry nowadays in Zim. The Guptas are looking to ship a whole lot of money out of the country, but are struggling to do that. If you're traveling to Dubai in the next few weeks, you're urged to drop by the Saxon World compound, pick up a suitcase, for which you will be rewarded with a small cash payment. Take two suitcases and you're eligible for a business class upgrade. Chris Froome has won the Tour de France again. The Englishman was naturally overjoyed with the latest title, but must now spend the next 3 months telling everyone he is not on drugs before he can really enjoy the success. Good luck, Chris. We will see you later.
This is CliffCentral.com.